Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Welcome. So glad to have you all. So today, we're going to jump right in. We are going to be following up on the same theme that Ada talked about last week. And so today we are going to be talking about the word of God. So Father, come bless this place, bless this time together, Lord. Come fill your heart, come fill the hearts of your people. Father, fill my heart, God. Be the words on my mouth, God. May I get out of the way so that you can step in and do the work you want to do. And may this word go forth and be planted and rooted in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen and amen. All right, so let's start off with something fun. All right, we're going to start off with some fun facts about the Bible, okay? Fun facts about the Bible. Every year, the Holy Bible sells over 100 million copies. That's wild. 100 million copies every single year the Bible is sold. Three people every second share some form of biblical quote or verse to their social media outlets. That's incredible. Man, can we use we need that. We need that more than ever, right? We need some Bible on some social media nowadays, right? Three people every second. There's some sort of biblical quote going out to social media. And man, that's awesome. That's an awesome fact, and it's a needed fact. Also, this is a kind of an interesting one. The Bible is the most shoplifted book in the world. And it's funny, this little comment said, I guess the thieves have never read as far as the Ten Commandments. And well, yeah, there's part of that too. But, you know, if you're going to steal a book, might as well be the Bible, right? I do not recommend stealing Bible. Don't do that. Don't do that. The middle verses of the Bible, right? What, if you ever wondered, well, there's the New Testament, there's the Old Testament. What's right in the middle? It's actually Psalm 103 verses 1-2. And how appropriate is this? Listen to this. For the middle of the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That is worthy of a middle Bible verse for sure. And lastly, one more fact is that there are more than 3,000 prophecy verses in the Bible that have already come true in some way. But what's crazier is that around 3,000 more prophecies are yet to come to completion. So that's what we're talking about today, not the prophecy, not these fun facts. We are talking about the Word of God, this book that has lasted through eons of time, right? Thousands of years, generation after generation, the Word of God has endured. And so what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking specifically from the book of Joshua. And so we're going to start at the very beginning, Joshua chapter 1. So this is in context of Joshua and the Israelites are about to enter the promised land that God has promised to give his people. And so we're going to start in verse 1. All right. So, and keep in mind, when we get to verse 8, that, right, so actually I'm going to wait. We'll have a surprise at that point. So, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. This is God speaking. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And the verse that we're going to land on today and talk about is Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm going to read this verse one more time in the NLT version. And so it says, study this book of instruction continually, Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So real quick, you know, when God is telling this to Joshua, right, when he says to study this book of instruction continually, I want you to keep in mind what this book is, right? Because we nowadays we have like a Bible like this. If you can see this, right? This is like a physical, big, giant life application study Bible. It's the one I personally use. We think of, right, this book of instruction, the book of the law. We think of that. But that's not what these people have. What these people have in this time, they only have the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. That's all they have. There's no King David. There's no Psalms. There's no Proverbs. There's no history. There's no prophets, right? They don't have any of that. So what God is talking about when he says this, he is saying the first five books that I've given Moses, the law of the how to follow it, how to be close to me, how to set up the tabernacle. This is what they have. Okay. So again, Joshua 1:8, we're going to approach this actually from the back end of the verse. And so the first thing we're going to be looking at is if you want to be prosperous and successful, God is saying, if you want to be prosperous and successful in your life, this is what you need to do, right? And so when we think about being prosperous and successful, maybe you're thinking, oh, yes, bless me, Lord. Hallelujah. Financial blessings coming my way. No, maybe not particularly what God is talking about in this situation, right? It could mean that because God would give the Israelites material gain eventually, right? Through land, through inheritance, through livestock and things that were valuable to them back in that day. But truthfully, what God is saying, if you want to be spiritually blessed, if you want to be blessed according to God's standards, if you want to be prosperous and successful according to my ways, according to God's standards, this is what we need to do. And we're going to talk about what we need to do in this message. But I love what someone posted on our Facebook page earlier when we had posted about this verse and what we were going to be talking about. Someone had said, imagine being prosperous and successful according to God's standards. Praise God. Unfortunately, many do not realize this. Right. So again, I want us to just have this clear mindset from the very beginning that prosperous and successful does not mean necessarily. It does not necessarily mean financial, material kind of gain. Right. What we're going to be doing is an internal work. Right. God is going to be doing something on the inside of our hearts. That's what he was doing with these people. So thank you, Koi, from our Facebook community who posted that. That's great. Right. Prosperous and successful according to God's standards. And so the first thing that God says to do in Joshua 1:8, if you want to be prosperous and successful, you need to study the word, right? First thing you got to do, if you're taking notes, write this down, study the word. And I love how the NLT says, study the word, right? It's not just enough to read through the Bible and to move on and forget what we've read. We have to study it, okay? And so another verse that talks about why we study the word is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, so it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Uh-oh, ooh, that's not fun. The Bible, the word of God exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So by studying through the word of God and not just reading through it, right, we are actually allowing it to penetrate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to transform us and change us from the inside out. That's why in Hebrews, in this verse, it says that it cuts between soul and spirit. That's stuff on the inside. There's nothing external happening here, even joint and marrow, right? That's all internally that the word of God does to us, and why it's so alive and why it's so powerful is because it does something on the inside of us. So when we study it, when we read it and we actually study it, it convicts us and exposes those things, right? Our innermost thoughts and desires. Elsewhere in the Bible, I believe in Jeremiah, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Only God can, right? And so what the Bible does is as you read it, I've heard it said many times before, as you read the Bible, it's the only book that reads you back. right? It tells you things in your life that need to be changed. It exposes the thoughts that you have that are not godly. It exposes the desires that are not godly. And so you may be asking, well, why does it do this? The Bible does this so that way the Holy Spirit can change our thoughts and desires and start to align those things with God's will in our for our lives. And y'all, this is exactly what happened to me. When I first began reading the Bible back in, I think it was like 2018, the fall or something like that at some point, fall of 2018, roughly, let's call it. All right. I started reading through the Bible intentionally. I read it every single day, like just a little bit at a time. And so what happened was that God started changing me. Like literally this book started changing my life. It changed my thoughts. It changed my mind. It changed my spirits, how I viewed people, how I looked at people, how I treated people. It began to do this exact thing it was talking about. It changed me from the inside out. Right. And if I've talked to you on the phone, maybe you've heard me even say this before. If you've rededicated your life like I did. Right. And that's why I will tell you to say, hey, the first step, you know, just spend time with God because he will begin to change you. This word will begin to change you. It is alive. It is powerful. Every time you read it, it does something to your spirit. So I want to be very, very practical with this first point. Right? Because you're saying, Noah, I don't even know how to study the Bible. I have a hard time enough reading the Bible. What do I do? How do I do this? Right? So very practically, a very, very practical three-step process you can do is, first of all, get a Bible, right? This can be a physical Bible, right? Something like this, a life application or just a normal Bible. But if you have access and can get a physical Bible, do so. I know for some of you, you don't have the ability to do that. And that's okay, because Matt is getting ready to put in the chat a link to a free digital Bible. It's called the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have it already, it's a fantastic tool. And what YouVersion did is that they actually created a light version of the Bible. And so it's less data is required. There's less like stuff and videos in it. So you don't have to have as much Wi-Fi connection or internet connection. Basically, it's just a simplified version of the Bible app so that if you are in a remote place, you can download this app and you can have God's word with you, right? Because you need it. You really, really need it. All right. So the first step is to get a Bible. The second step is to read one chapter a day, right? And if that seems like a lot to read one verse a day, but I would really encourage you to start with one chapter a day. Okay, because it's going to be small bites at a time. It's going to be small bits of scripture at a time. That way you can take your time reading through it. You can digest what you have read through. You can understand it a little bit more. And that helps you to study and read through the Bible. And so if you just start and read one chapter a day, right, it'll take you a while to get through the Bible, but you'll get there. You'll get there. And then last point is I recommend you start in Matthew. And why Matthew? Because it's the first gospel, and it's a very easy gospel to understand that lays out that Jesus is the Messiah. It shows us that he is the Savior, that he is the Son of God, right? The gospels all do this, but Matthew specifically talks to those people who are outcasts in society, who feel maybe distant from God. So basically, Matthew, it's just a great place to start. It has the whole Sermon on the Mount. It has a lot of Jesus's miracles and parables. So it's a really good book to start in, right? And it's a very, very good place to start. So again, get a Bible, read one chapter a day, start in the book of Matthew. This is what I did. And I'm not saying this is the perfect way to do this, but this is a great, great starting point to do this. Okay. And so again, get a Bible, read a chapter a day, start in Matthew. And again, Matt should have just put in the chat a link to that. And so that is just a great tool for you to have. And so again, when I just again, to give you some background on myself, when I did this, it took me 3.5 years to get through the Bible. Okay. Through this specific one. And that's a long time, but man, am I grateful for those 3.5 years, and I'm still going through it. Right. And I could talk for ages about studying the Bible, but we got to move on. We got to get through the other 2 points in this text. And so the next point, you study the Bible, now we have to meditate on the word. So this word meditate, It really derives from a Hebrew word that the rabbis, Jewish rabbis, would often use. It means to moan or to growl, to utter, to speak, to muse. So it's this kind of deep guttural rumble, like, and growl that is they're using to describe what it means to meditate on the word of God. Okay. And so what they often will say is that they liken it to the low rumble and growl of a lion that is stalking its prey. Okay, so let me see if I can do, I'm going to try to make this noise. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. But so when it's this word that it's this haggah, so it's like, right? It's this kind of like deep breath in and out of like a lion stalking its prey. And what they mean is that when you meditate on the word of God, it's like this low, just kind of like you are repeating it to yourself out loud. You're repeating it, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So you start to do this, right? You're meditating on it. You're letting it permeate your soul. You're letting it soak into your heart and again, start to change you and transform you, right? So again, if you want to be prosperous and successful, what God is saying, if you want to be prosperous and successful, you have to study the word and you have to meditate on the word. And so this word meditate is actually mentioned 8 different times in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 talks about meditating and how wonderful God's law and his word is. So if you want to read the entire psalm, you can go read it yourself. Meditating is not some sort of new age philosophy that they have suddenly made up. Meditating is not evil. Meditating is good. Meditating is good when you meditate on God, when you meditate on his promises, on the word of God. When you meditate on those things, it is good for your spirit. Right? There will be many other things today that tell you to meditate on this, on that, on this thing, on say this mantra. No, we're not talking about any of that, right? They're actually taking all of what they know. They're getting it from the Bible, okay? And also Psalm chapter 1, I want to read another verse, right? Because again, talking about being prosperous, this is what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. Or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. It's like David was, it's like he knew something about Joshua 1:8, you know, which he did because David would have had this memorized. So David is saying, right, because David wrote this psalm, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. So again, if you want to be prosperous and successful and you meditate on God's word, whatever you do prospers, right? When you take delight in his word, you will be like a tree that is planted by the source of life that it needs. Trees get their life from water, from their roots that are in the ground that take up the nutrients from the soil and the water around them. Right. So if you want to be like this, if you want to be like a person who is like a tree planted by streams of water, you always have what you need. You are never lacking. You're always producing fruits. Whatever you do prospers. Right. We have to meditate. We have to study. We have to meditate on the word of God. And this is why it's so important, again, to be in your word every single day. There are many, many distractions in this world, and I know social media is addicting. They designed it that way, by the way. If you are like they have designed social media to make you addicted to it. It's horrible how they designed this, but it is designed to draw you away and distract you from other things because the devil knows. I'm not saying social media is the devil. I'm not saying that at all. Don't take that out of context. But the devil does know that if he can distract you away from the word of God, you will lose your power. He knows that if he can distract you away from the word of God, you will lose that connection to God through prayer. And you will lose your power, right? As Christians, as Christ followers, we are supposed to have power with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to go and do the work that Jesus has called us to do. And we cannot do that if we do not have the word of God stored up inside of us. And y'all, there is a time coming soon where you are going to need the word of God stored up within you, in your heart. You need to know it and have it internalized, right? Not that you have to have everything memorized. Yo, I don't have that much memorized. I don't have that many verses memorized, right? But what's beautiful is when you read through this book, when you read through the Bible, I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit does something. And I've had this happen in my own life when I have been talking with people and they have been going through certain situations or dealing with something, and the Holy Spirit will drop a verse into my heart. And, you know, I don't necessarily have a verse memorized, but in that moment, I need something to help this person I am talking to, or to convince them of something, or to show them something. And so the Holy Spirit will drop it into my heart because I've read it, because that's there, right? So you don't have to memorize the whole Bible. I'm not saying to do that. But I'm saying we need to constantly be connected to God through this source, through his word. Okay? It's important. It's very, very important. And lastly, my fun one, obey the word, right? God says, if you want to be prosperous and successful, you got to do what I say. God says, if you want to be prosperous and successful in all you do, if you want to live by my standards, you got to do what I say, right? We talked about last time I was on here and sharing with you guys, we talked about obedience and how obedience is worship. Obedience is worship. And so when you do what the word of God says, you are worshiping God, right? When you do what the word of God says and you forgive that person who offended you, when you do what the word of God says and you bless others who persecute you, when you do what the word of God says and you make peace with others, you are blessed, right? Everything that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount of blessed are those who are persecuted and those who are meek, right? When you do those things, when you follow his teachings and his commands and what God has told us to do, you not only are worshiping God, but you are blessed because of those things. And even in James chapter 1, right? James says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. He says, do what it says. Do what it says. If we are just reading through this Bible, if we are just reading through this book and saying, that was cool, that was a great story, and we move on, we're deceiving ourselves. That's what James is saying. We're deceiving ourselves. We are thinking that we are being built up and that we are doing something that God wants us to do, but God says, you have not put something into practice. That's what Paul talks about. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. James says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Right? So James is saying that when you read the word, right, you have read it, you see Jesus forgiving people on the cross, you see Jesus healing people, you see Jesus doing all these things, but you don't do anything with it. James says it's like you look in the mirror and you immediately forget, what do I look like? What did I just learn? What did I just discover? What did I just see? You don't remember any of it. He says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, talk about Jesus, by the way, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Do y'all see a pattern? Every single verse I have shared with you all. When we do these things, when we study the word of God, when we meditate on it, when we obey it, we are blessed. We are blessed because we are connected to God. We are blessed because God is with us. We are blessed because we are internalizing and letting the Holy Spirit do something within us so that we can then go and make disciples and be the light of Christ in the darkness that is so apparent today. And so Deuteronomy 30 also says this, right? These are Moses' last words to Joshua before essentially Moses dies, right? This is right before Joshua 1 that we read in the beginning. So Moses is telling this to the Israelites and to Joshua. And he says, Moses says, you will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, right? Because this is not coming from us. None of this is coming from us. This is all from God, right? Moses says, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay, because what Moses is saying is that Moses actually had a glimpse of the glory that Jesus Christ would bring. And Moses, he's seeing something beyond just the immediate thing that he is experiencing right now. He is seeing Jesus Christ fulfill this. He is seeing Jesus Christ be the ultimate fulfillment through this. Right? And Moses is basically saying, hey, I've spent 40 years with you guys in the desert. I know you're not going to keep the law. I know it's like you've been, when you spend 40 years with someone, you know them well enough to know whether or not they're going to do something or not. Right? Moses is like, y'all, I know who you, I know you. I know you're not going to do this, right? And Moses actually lists out like here, if you keep the law, here's what's going to go good. But if you don't, here's what's going to go bad. And you're not going to be able to keep it, right? Spoiler alert for the rest of the Bible. The Israelites, the people of God, could not keep this law. They strayed from it. They've walked away. Every single one of us has walked away at some point from it, whether we like to admit it or not. But then Moses follows up and says, but when you again obey the Lord your God, meaning he also knew that they would not just depart from the word of God, but that they would return to God. They would return to his presence. They would return to his word and what he has said. And again, he had a glimpse of Jesus. He had a glimpse. He saw briefly, maybe not physically, but like spiritually through God, he saw Jesus Christ fulfilling all of this. So again, if there is something to take away from what we have all, what we've just said through all of this right now, is to put this into practice. Get a Bible, read one chapter a day, start in the book of Matthew. You can start wherever you want. It doesn't have to be Matthew, right? But get one of these things. If you don't have one, get a physical Bible, download it on your phone, right? Get it on your phone, have it with you every single day and night. There's no better time for you to have access to the word of God than now. Because again, when you do these things, when you put this into practice, I promise you, your life will change. I promise you, your life will change because mine did. When I did this and allowed God to enter into my life, and I spent that intentional time with him, 5 minutes a day, it could be 5 minutes a day, God will change your life. I promise you. I promise you. So, do you want to be prosperous and successful? I think we all do, spiritually, physically as well. That'd be great. Yeah. But if you want to be prosperous and successful, you have to be connected to God through his word. All right. So last thing, I want to share this verse with you right after Joshua 1:8. So Joshua 1:9, most of us may know this if you have some scripture memorized, right? Joshua 1:9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And here's the important part of this verse. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the last thing God says to Joshua before they enter the promised land. Before the Israelites are led by Joshua and they go into the promised land, this is the last thing God says to them. Right? After talking all through that about study this law, meditate on it day and night, right? Obey everything I've commanded you. God says, I'm with you wherever you go. Because Joshua's success was not only based on him keeping and obeying the word of God. As much as I just emphasized the importance of that, and let me say again, it is important. As much as that is important on keeping and obeying the word of God, the most important part is that God was with Joshua wherever he went. God was with Joshua, just as he, at the very beginning of Joshua 1, God says, just as I was with my servant Moses, I will be with you. He says the same thing to Joshua. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is why we are prosperous and successful, is because we are with the Lord our God. But having God with you requires that you know him and have a relationship with him. You have to know him. You have to have a relationship with him. This was not the first time the Israelites had the relationship with God. That was way, way back. They've been with God for over 40 years. They've been tested. They've been tried. They've gone through trials. They've gone through hardships. They are now at the edge of the promised land after escaping Egypt, after suffering for 400 years in slavery. They are now finally at this place of freedom, and God has been with them through it the whole time. I have to share one more verse with you because there's this connection to Jesus through all of this, right? God says that you have my law. We have the Torah, right? The Torah is the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That is what these people have. It's called the Torah. And so in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So when John is talking about the Word, when John is saying in the beginning was the Word, he is talking about Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Right? If we go back to Joshua 1:8 again. Let me see if I can go back to it real quick. Right? Joshua 1:8. If we just talk about Jesus being the Word. I'm sorry. No, not Joshua 1:8. We're going to stay on John 1:1. I am so sorry. If we replace the Word, right? Because John is talking about Jesus. If we replace the Word with Jesus, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Because then it says he was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. Without Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Right? Jesus being the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I say all of that because when Jewish rabbis talk about this word Torah, when they talk about the first five books of the Bible that we have today, it is symbolic of light. God gave the Israelites the Torah. God gave them this so that they could be the light where they were going. They were not going to an empty land. They were going to a land filled with pagan nations. They were going to a land filled with people who had disobeyed and completely separated themselves from God, because God said, I want you to be the light in the darkness. God says, I want you to have my word so that you can be the light in the darkness. This is the word that God is talking about. Torah was meant to be light to people who could see it. It means teaching. It means light. And so when John is talking here about Jesus, when John is talking about the beginning, having the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that being Jesus, and meaning that Jesus became the ultimate fulfillment of the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And he said that himself. He says, I am not here to abolish the law. I'm here to fulfill it, to complete it, to be the light in the world that you were supposed to be, that you could not do. Throughout this entire period, you could not do it. But that was kind of part of God's plan, right? Because he was going to send me to be the light in the darkness and to not have the darkness overcome it. So again, when we read the word of God, when we allow it to be part of our hearts and to transform us from the inside out, and we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we have him, we have the light within us. When we have these things, we have the light so that we can now shine in the darkness. The light of Christ from within us can shine in the darkness, and that darkness will not overcome anything we will face in our lives. It will not. Because Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. Jesus gave us a new covenant, one where we can have the Word of God written on our hearts. And under this new covenant, God's people are not blessed primarily because of their obedience, but because of this relationship and the love and the faith in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world when we have him living within us, right? So this all goes back to Jesus. This all goes back to Jesus. Jesus, this is saying the whole Old Testament points to me. And I'm pointing back to this to say, this is what you were supposed to be. I came to do what we could not, what you could not do. None of us have been able to ever do it. Jesus Christ came to be the Word made flesh, to be the light in the darkness. And so, maybe you're hearing me say this and you don't know Jesus Christ. And so simply put, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're on this call and you have never accepted Jesus into your life, This is the moment for you. This is the moment for you because, again, just as the Israelites, we have all gone astray. None of us have been able to follow the law perfectly except for Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law, being the light of the world. We've all gone our own way, just as Isaiah says. And so that's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that he could take away the sin of the world. And Romans says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so if I could basically summarize what has happened, the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ is that we were all sinners. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We could not study the word. We could not meditate on it. We could not obey everything that God had told us to do. We could not. And so God made a way through Jesus Christ. That sin has separated us from God, and now we faced one of two realities for eternity. Eternity with God in heaven or eternity in hell, eternally separated from God. But God made a way. God loved us so incredibly much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, and so that we could have a relationship with him and have eternal life starting today. Eternal life starts the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life. It doesn't have to start when you one day go to heaven and meet God face to face. It can start today, and you can have that peace. You can have the eternal life. You can have the light of Christ living within you. You can experience the life change that God has given me and so many others throughout history through Jesus Christ. And this is what God did. God made a way where there was no way through his son. We were earning death. Sin only gave us more sin, where the law was powerless. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill everything. And so I'm going to say a prayer. And if you are on this call and you are saying, I have never invited Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, I have never accepted Jesus into my life, I want you to say this prayer with me. So let's pray. Father God, I know that I am a sinner, and I need you to forgive me. I know that your son, Jesus, died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust you and follow you. Everything that I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.